Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be talking about the Netflix original Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story. Is that what it's called?
That is the full title. Yes, I forgot. So the real way to abbreviate that is what? QCABS.
Yes.
Very silly.
You know, it was actually when I went to go start it on Netflix, I could not find it anywhere. I figured it would be like right on my homepage, like on like one of the first few rows of content. Mm-hmm. I literally could not find it. And then it kind of became like a, how long will it take me to scroll on my homepage without actually searching it to find it? Never could find it. Which I was like shocked by, because I thought that this was like one of the like top watched shows.
When I started it last week, it was the number one Netflix show. It was literally in the number one slot.
That is so wild. I don't, like, it was truly baffling to me. I had to search it. Wow. I don't get it. Anyway, and then of course we get to discuss Succession episode 9. But first, TV news. Jordan, what do you have for us this week?
Well, today is the official death of HBO Max and
RIP,
the birth of Max. And PSA, you do have to download a new app. So
rude.
I saw some tweets saying that, and so I tested it out, and yeah, I opened up HBO Max and it said download the Max app and then sign in with your HBO Max credentials. Which is so dumb and such a pain. So
that's insane.
I haven't tested it to see if, like, so now does that mean on all of our TVs we also have to download a new app and like log in and stuff? It's just all so annoying. Very mad.
I assume so. You know, last night I was watching something on HBO Max and it kept like pausing. Like it kept like having to like buffer and like was really blurry. And I was like, they're already struggling.
HBO Max was breathing its final breaths.
Yeah.
It that was is so it dark. Was dark.
And I will say that the Max of it all and how they're like shoving it down our throats, it's like very disturbing. Like, especially
it is
like
disturbing.
The sandwich between the Succession episode, which was like such a dark episode, and then it's just like this like happy hyper lady being like Max, and I was like, please get away from me.
It's so embarrassing. It's like, it's truly overnight, it's everyone's favorite app has everyone, it's gone to everyone's least favorite app. All the tweets are bad. And it's so embarrassing because their slogan is introducing Max, the one to watch for HBO. It's like, you know, there was a way to not have to include that in all of your ads and all of your digital assets by just keeping the word HBO in there. But whatever.
I need them to release the pitch deck where they decided this was a good idea.
Oh my gosh. I saw a tweet today that was also like, you know, I don't even care about the name, but I can't believe that they went from purple to blue because now it blends in with so many of my other apps. And they're like, who decided this? So truly, like, the thought process, like, where is the thought process? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Show us. We deserve
to know.
Because
now, looking at my little category on my phone of all my streamers, Max, Prime, Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, they're all blue. Like, the purple did stand out. Why did you have to do also blue?
We need answers.
I would love a documentary on this.
My only piece of news is that The Bachelor is finally doing a senior citizen season.
Finally!
I can't wait. They have been,
I
like,
do love that.
I remember at the beginning of COVID, I was watching The Bachelor and they were like casting. They were like, now casting for senior citizens. And I was like, I can't wait for that. And then it like never happened. And now they're doing it again. Or they're doing it finally. It's supposed to be coming this fall. I'll believe it when I see it. But Mm-hmm. Also, it's called The Golden Bachelor.
It should be The Silver Bachelor, in my opinion. That's really funny. And now I'm also thinking, like, SNL should do some kind of thing where it's, like, senior citizens, but it's really just, like, 40-year-olds because everyone on The Bachelor is, like, 22 now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. That is... It's... I don't know. That'll just be really interesting because, like, when you're... All these young people that go on The Bachelor, it's, like, you know, you still have so much growing up to do and so much, like, knowing about yourself to do. But if you're a senior citizen, you probably know yourself very well and you have been through plenty of relationships in your life. So you'll be like a better judge of people, I would hope, you know, and like more perceptive maybe or something.
I'm intrigued to see like what the drama will be because they like I would hope that those people, the senior citizens have like the awareness and like emotional maturity that is lacking on The Bachelor. And so like, I'm intrigued to see what kind of drama it is. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I like it. It's also, I kind of wish it were in, I almost wish it were like a senior citizen Bachelor in Paradise where it's like even numbers, men and women, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, well. I'm excited to see where this goes because who knows? There's going to be people from this that America falls in love with, you know, that like, totally. And so are they going to do this more times like they do with the regular Bachelor where it's like you keep the cast in here because it's like, they'll be the Golden Bachelorette and like down, like, you know, trickle down. So that'll be fun.
And it's kind of like, this isn't someone that you have to spend the rest of your life with. It's literally, I mean, I guess technically, but it's like not someone that like you're wanting
your
to
final
spend, like,
few years,
60 years with. It's like you really only have to spend like 5 years with them.
Yeah. And like you're not going to have kids with this person.
Yeah. There's way less to lose. It's literally just.
Yeah.
Fun.
They should have done F-Boy Island.
Can you imagine if like your own grandparent was on there?
And they're an F-boy. Oh, man. Someday society will be ready.
I can't wait.
Oh, man. Did you see that Dollface is being, like, permanently removed from Disney+/Hulu?
No.
They're pulling that old HBO Max move where it says 30 original titles are being removed due to cost-cutting reasons, which doesn't make sense to me. And Dollface is one of them, and I'm really sad.
That's really upsetting. I saw a post that said, that was, like, talking about how they were removing stuff, but, like, they mentioned, like, three things that were being removed, and I was like, never heard of any of those, so I doubt I care about any of the rest, if, like, those were the big ones that they felt the need to, like, put in the caption.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. That's depressing.
They heard you say that, and they said, we're going to break your heart. Just wait. But yeah, I am sad because I feel like that's one that would be fun to go revisit and now I can't, you know?
Totally.
Conan O'Brien he's shooting a new show, but he's going to finish after the writer's strike because he stands with writers, has a history of standing with writers. And it's called Conan O'Brien Must Go. And it looks like he like travels to these other countries and like kind of lives days in the lives of like fans of his, because I don't think they're just kind of like regular people living in like, well, I don't have the countries that he's going to. I'm watching the trailer again, but it's on mute, and it's like looks like he goes to like maybe Iceland, and like he's like just traveling around the world, and it looks really funny and good. So I'm excited for the writers to get what they want so he can keep doing the show.
Is it gonna be on his own channel? Because I listened to his podcast today. He interviewed Bill Hader and he was talking about how he has his own like basically station or like app or streaming service called like Conan's TV, which I was like, oh
my
Conan's
gosh,
Taylor's version.
Yeah.
But it's literally only available on Samsung TV Plus. Like, so I think you have to have like a Samsung TV, smart TV that has that app. So I was like, What a like interesting thing.
This is actually a Max original.
Okay, great.
So, but that's actually weird. Like, why is it? So then why is it not on your own special channel then? But
yeah,
I'm glad it's not because it looks really good and I don't have a Samsung TV, so I would be screwed, I guess. So yeah, that looks very cute and fun. I bookmarked because I was like, wow, I don't know anyone who watches this show and I don't plan on watching this show. But Netflix ordered a third and fourth season of Jenny in Georgia, which I don't know, just kind of surprised me, especially because they have a history of just like canceling shows. So,
you know, people love that show.
Yeah, they go crazy for it. It's like the Gilmore Girls formula, you know. Everyone loves a young mom and a teen daughter.
But I think it's like kind of risque a little bit and like deals with like more adult content than Gilmore Girls did, from what I've heard.
And isn't there like, having never watched it, I feel like from the previews it looks like someone's like running from the law perhaps or something. There's crime too, so yeah, I don't know. I think Jason Street is in the show, which is kind of funny.
It's always just really interesting to hear what actually does well on Netflix, because it never seems to be the things that I want to do well.
No, it's true. My final thing is that, you know, the spinoff of Big Mouth that they made, they like made a spinoff called Human Resources that's like about like the puberty monsters and all of the other
things. Oh yeah, was that things. Like 80 Bryant in it?
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
And someone new is joining the cast as a guest star, and it's Florence Pugh.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Wow, Florence's IMDb is all over the place.
So all over the place, which I do love. And I was like, huh? And then I realized Nick Kroll was in Don't Worry, Darling. So connection. True.
There's the connection.
They bonded. So can we expect the whole cast to be in the show eventually? Maybe. That would be fun.
Maybe. Maybe. Don't Worry, Darling, the movie that never stops giving.
It truly doesn't. I feel like we may never see something like that. It's just a spectacle. Every piece of it was a spectacle. The real life was so much more interesting than the actual movie, and I love it.
Yeah, me too. I saw today that there was like more that came out, or like Florence did another interview and it was like she said never before things about the Don't Worry, Darling thing, but I didn't click on the article yet. I'll have to go back and see. But I did see also that she said something about how like indie movie makers were mad at her when she joined the Marvel Universe. And so I think this is just extra funny on top of that, because it's like, girl's got range. She can do whatever she wants.
She literally can. And it's like, okay, Little Women was like a blockbuster movie. So whatever. She can get paid however she wants to.
Show me someone who's going to turn down an easier, like the Marvel money.
Right. She actually probably has like one of the best situations in Marvel too, because I haven't seen the movie or show that she's been in, but it seems like she's important and cool, but I don't really think she'll be like a headliner. So I don't think she'll be locked down for like decades like the others. So it's like, do it. Why would you not?
Yeah. Dream.
You're going to say no to millions of dollars. Okay.
No,
you're just jealous. You're all just jealous. And that's my news.
Okay, great. Sorry for that you did all the heavy lifting there.
I feel like this was a total switcheroo, because usually you are like, oh, I have 10 really important breaking news things. And I'm like, oh, I have 3. So
I don't know if I was just like pretending I was on vacation or what, but okay, we're going to save our top 3 for our Succession discussion. So into Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton story. I'm excited because Jordan and I haven't talked to Jordan one single peep about this show other than one TikTok I sent her.
Yes.
So how did you feel about this show?
I actually didn't hate it. Here's what I think worked better for me, this compared to the Bridgerton proper seasons. It was shorter. It was only 6 episodes, even though some of them were long. Full disclosure, I feel like it's like when an influencer has to like disclaimer that they were sent an item for free. My disclaimer is I did watch it on like 1.5 speed, which always makes me more prone to enjoy something for sure. Mm-hmm. But I didn't hate this. I thought that I actually liked the cast, especially like the young versions of the characters. I thought that Baby Queen Charlotte and Baby Lady Danbury were like well cast. I think they both look a lot like the adult versions. And some things I will say that like early on in my notes I said this horror doctor feels so random. It was very dramatic and it was a lot darker than like typical Bridgerton drama, I feel like. But I don't know. I felt like it held my attention and I don't know. I was kind of into it, even though I won't say that it was like perfect. I wouldn't necessarily like say drop everything and watch it or whatever, but it held my attention better than some of the, like the long feeling seasons of the normal Bridgerton feels.
I did not like it. I enjoyed it in the end. But like the beginning was so sloggy to me. Like it was taking forever to get to the point. I felt like for like a 6-episode show, that was like kind of shocking to me. And I was not watching it on 1.5. But once I did watch the final episode halfway through on 1.5. And I was like, oh yeah, this is great. So it's kind of, I wonder if I would have liked it better if I were doing that the whole time.
Shonda should film it on 1.5.
Yeah. But I just felt like, especially in the beginning, like there was just like so many words being said. But like, I think I put in my notes, I'm in 1.5 episodes/hours in. And basically all I've gotten is like, there's this couple who are married now and they're supposed to consummate the marriage and haven't. So it's basically Marie Antoinette without being as fun or exciting as my favorite movie, Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
I also kind of struggled with like, I think in the end it came together a little bit better, but I struggled with like what was even going on with the king, like what exactly was his mental illness, and we never get that answer.
It was like, kind of like anxiety that causes like hallucinations. Is that like is there something that exists like that? Because I too was kind of like,
put a name to it, because it felt like a fake thing that they made up
for sure. Yeah.
And I thought like, oh, maybe they're going to talk about like mental health and like this is like the first kind of real therapy that someone did. But then actually it turns into, wow, that therapy was really bad and like abusive. And so then I was like, well, that doesn't really play well. Like
all you need
just made me feel icky.
Don't trust your doctors because they actually are evil. And all you actually need to get through it is the power of love. That's all. I don't see a problem with that.
Well, and the TikTok that I sent to Jordan was someone who said, the only thing I learned from Queen Charlotte is that if he's ghosting me, he's probably just torturing himself with intense psychosis therapy and ice baths because his heart calls my name and he can't live without me. And I just thought that was so funny because it's true. I think if I would have had at least like some sort of insight as to like what the illness actually was, I would have been more interested, but it felt like it was a fake made up illness. So then I was like,
yeah,
I'm confused.
Yeah. It made it very silly kind of in a way, mm-hmm. but also like, it really, I was like, wow, Bridgerton, the other seasons of Bridgerton, it's never this dark. Like, the scenes where he's getting his treatments, I was like, geez, like, what? This is intense.
Truly. Well, and it was like, okay, so he, like, is a farmer, and he's, like, very obsessed with, like, the stars. Like, which one of these?
He just had hobbies. He just had other hobbies that were self-care.
Sure. But
what else is he supposed to do all day?
be a king. I don't know. Whatever kings do.
Well, his mom is doing that job. His mom, who I literally didn't realize until like halfway through that she's Mrs. Stark in Game of Thrones.
I know. I noticed that when I looked that up on IMDb. I also didn't get that myself.
I was so shook.
I'm going to say one more complaint and then I'll end on a positive note. I was really bugged in the beginning. Like, we were supposed to, like, not be in favor of them getting married and, like, feel, like, icky about it. And then all of a sudden, the music shifts and it's, like, a cue to the viewers, like, we are okay with this marriage now and we support it and they are good for each other. And I was like, no. Like, you can't just, like, change the music and manipulate me into being supportive of this, like, 17-year-old girl getting married. Like,
why couldn't they have made her 18? Like, she would still have been a teenager. I was wondering
that same thing.
Yeah, it's like a Call Me By Your Name vibe. Like,
yes.
You know, you could, they're still a teenager if they're 18, but at least they're legal. But it was kind of confusing how it's like, he's super cute when like she's gonna go jump off the wall or climb over the wall, I mean, and escape. Mm-hmm. And he's like being really cutie. And then he's kind of like mean. And then,
yes,
but wait, am I still supposed to think he's cute? And then, I mean, I did. I like bought into it. I thought their moment when he is saying like the TikTok says, like, oh, I just, he's like, no, it's because I love you so much. I can't be around you or whatever. I was like, I was feeling the moment. I loved it. And I did love when they did SZA instrumental at the end. I was like, wow, what? This is. Yeah, I don't know. It was, I almost maybe like it because it was more ridiculous in a way than regular Bridgerton. And I don't know. I'm looking for ways to explain why I liked it. And I don't have logic. But I really did love the girl who plays baby Queen Charlotte. I thought she was really cute. And also, seeing her in real life, great. She's like the coolest person I've ever seen with my eyeballs. And she and the king in real life, all their behind this like little interviews and stuff, they have all these inside jokes and they seem like they're like really like cutest buddies ever. And so I think I'm swayed by that too, because they're really cute.
I like that. That's cute. I haven't watched any of the BTS content.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered one last thing I wanted to say that was negative before we get to my positive, was that the young Lady Danbury scenes, like where she's like having sex with her husband, were really traumatic and I did not like those.
Yeah, it was messed up.
I did not like it.
It was gross. One thought I did have was, can we, I get that it's probably, but this show's, okay, I'm going to take that back, because this show is not concerned with actually being accurate. So like, throw accuracy out the window. Can we please have a couple on Bridgerton where the girl knows what sex is and the boy doesn't? Because I am kind of sick of them needing to like teach this silly girl who's never heard of sex and doesn't know what happens and like all this stuff. Because I was like, I would like to flip that narrative like at least once. Can we have one girly who is like getting around and the boy who's like the innocent virginal one, you know, just once in, because if they're gonna do like 7 more seasons of Bridgerton or whatever, like we could have that once at least, right?
Totally. I mean I know that Shonda isn't listening, because famously I feel like I'm not that nice to Shonda in
she Shonda's was shows. But then she stopped because we were just too mean. Hey Shonda, if you're listening, I liked it.
That's a great idea. And honestly, with that idea, I was most invested and interested in the women as they were playing their older selves and how they were talking about how they like wanted to have sex and like were like yearning for love. And like, I thought their story and the affairs and all of that, like, I thought that was really interesting, and that I was most interested in that storyline, which is surprising because I feel like usually like the older people or like the parents storylines are my least interested plots.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually more interested in them.
Yeah, I think I kind of think that's part of why I did, why it did hold my attention so well, was I actually did like how it jumped around so much. And it's almost like each plot, because there's kind of like, there's baby Queen Charlotte, there's baby Lady Danbury, there's Queen Charlotte and her kids, which was like kind of the weirdest part of it all. I was like, I've never seen them before. That was kind of weird, but I was still like...
Well, can I say one thing about that?
Yes.
Like, she was acting like she'd never heard of what love actually is or like feels like, and is like asking her friends, like, what does that even mean? But then I'm like, then they flash back to like her younger selves, and they're like, she's like madly in love with the king and like so supportive of him. And I'm like, I'm confused. Are you in love with him or not? Like, don't act like you don't know what love is, and then like we're supposed to believe that you were in love. Like, which is it?
Yeah, it's like, at least maybe, and like, because she still does have love actually with him, because like they do have that moment, like kind of their, that notebook moment, which I did think was sweet actually. I was I thought that was really nice. And you're right, that is very weird. I really don't understand why I enjoyed this, because I don't think it was very well thought out, and felt a lot of it felt kind of random, but I was still into it.
I've seen people say like it feels like it was written by AI, which I kind of agree with.
I think you could say that about all of Bridgerton, to be honest.
Yeah, totally.
I think that, I don't know, I guess I feel like I was expecting it to be like exactly like all the other Bridgertons, and in a lot of ways, yeah, it was, I guess, especially the whole thing where it's like, teach this girl about sex. Yes, that's literally that for sure. That's in every single season. But
teach this girl about sex, and then she wants it more than he wants it.
Yeah,
basically.
Well, it kind of, that is a huge plot point. Yes, I can't explain it, but I liked it. I guess there's other things that I get more frustrated with the other Bridgerton seasons, and so. I guess I don't know. I liked this one a little more, but great. But I'm not going to like die on this hill that this is like an amazing show. I just, I liked it even though it was silly.
Yeah. Like, it was perfect for what you needed and had in the moment.
Yeah. And 1.5 speed. If I consider myself like a critic, I should watch it in the way that it's made and presented, but I would have hated it if I didn't watch it so fast.
If you rate it out of 10, then you have to take 1.5 off.
Yeah, you do. You have to grade it on the curve for sure.
Yeah,
that was so funny.
I'm glad you liked it, and I feel like I still was having a fine time. I think I'm also I'm having a hard time paying attention to any TV right now. I am hop bopping around to so many shows right now and just like flip flopping through a million shows and like watching an episode of each. And so my TV watching habits right now are a little chaotic. So
yeah. And I was kind of, since I was watching like a lot of it, I had it on while I was packing for a trip. And then I watched the second half like on a plane, where I'm kind of like captive, like, it's like the first half, since I'm literally focused on doing another activity at the same time, it means I'm kind of like background watching, which and I'm not like sitting there focused on all the dialogue and stuff, you know. But so basically what I'm saying, good background show, I think, to have on.
Totally. I agree with that. I agree. Okay, Succession, second to last episode. I can't believe it's happening. Episode 9, Logan's funeral. Wow. What do you have to say?
I thought it might be my favorite episode of the whole season, tied with the death episode. It was just like, everything, single thing that was happening was like the perfect amount of shocking. Just, there were just so many moments that I was just like, like over and over and over again. Even just down to like freaking their mom pulling Carrie up to sit with them, but then Marcia being really nice to Carrie and like cracking jokes up there. That was amazing. I mean, the Ewan of it all, like, was amazing. The contrast of, like, the journey, basically, that Roman goes on from the first seconds of the episode when he's like, I'm the man. And then he literally finally has a breakdown that's been building. Of course, this is the moment when he has a breakdown that's been building the whole season.
And literally ends the episode on the ground getting trampled.
So that was crazy. Jess quitting.
I really wish that Jess would have told Kendall, like, straight up why she was quitting. I think he knows.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted her, because, like, someone needs to tell him, like, say it to him straight. Yeah. And, like, Rava is, but I think he needs more to, like, have it really sink in.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I love that we finally got to have the full story of Logan's sister.
Yes.
That was, like, so special, and goes with what we've always said about this show, is that, like, everything comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
That was really heartbreaking and really sad.
Mm-hmm. And it really makes it, like, so, I mean, so when Holly Hunter, when they, like, tell her to mention the sister in that toast, and it makes it, like it's a such a sad story. So, like, it makes it even, now that we know how sad it is, it's even worse for Logan. But also, so, like, that's how cutthroat the kids were to set her up like that with that story, is, like, it all just makes that situation even worse. Like, oh, wow. Truly.
It's so bad. I am obsessed with that line that Shiv said about her dad, where she said he couldn't fit a whole woman in his head, which was just, like, it's so relatable and just, like, said so well. And I, like, wrote it down as soon as she said it. Also, Hugo, I'm, like, haunted by Hugo saying woof woof. That was terrifying.
Oh, so messed up. He is so gross.
My last thing I had noted was that, okay, what's up with Stewie being in the promo photos, and then we never see him?
I was actually going to ask you, was Stewie there?
No, maybe he was, like, in the background or something, but, like, we see way more of what's his name in the wheelchair and his daughter.
The Sandys.
The
Sandys Furness.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that I was looking up something else on IMDb and saw that that Sandy, the dad, was in the episode, and then never saw him in the, so I must have, no, I didn't even notice that he was there either. But I didn't see Stewie in the IMDb, now that I say that. So maybe he got cut.
So weird.
Maybe his scene got cut or something.
But weird of HBO to, like, put those pictures out to, like, promo it, because he looked great.
And, like, love to see Stewie.
Well, and, like, I feel like the whole thing of the funeral was, like, literally everyone's there from, like, past, present, future.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Stewie's a very important part of that.
Seriously, he's kind of been, like, a main kind of villain.
Yeah.
Like, this whole time up until
and
this
savior.
Season. Yes. It's very complicated. It's so funny that his name is Stewie. And it's like,
it's so wild.
It's, like, serious, but.
Okay, for our top three, we're ranking our finale predictions. This is hard because I literally have no idea. I
know. It's very intimidating. I have, like, thoughts of things that could happen, but I'm, like, I'm not confident in them to be, like, oh, I'm sure this is going to happen. Because, like,
oh, no, this is, like, things we want to happen or, like, would be fun, or you think it could go that way.
Oh, okay,
but, like,
okay.
I don't think there's a 100% this is going to happen.
No.
Even possible.
No, I don't think so either. Because, well, something that's still kind of up in the air is that there's still now going to be, like, recounts of if Mencken wins the election, right? Like, they still have votes to tally. So that is, so many things are still up in the air just with the country, you know? So I don't know what to expect. So anyway, my number three is actually kind of an anti-prediction. I do not want to happen, because I've seen so many people on Twitter say that Mattson is going to choose Greg as his puppet CEO. And I'm just like, are you kidding? Like, I just feel like that is almost too, like, ridiculous to actually happen for this show. But maybe it's just ridiculous enough because now he's Mattson's, like, buddy. So you never know. But he's just so, like, mm-hmm. junior, you know? Like, I can't see it happening.
Zero experience.
Yeah.
Like, if Shiv has no experience, Cousin Greg has literally no experience. And, yeah, I keep seeing that, too. And so, like, my counter prediction, I'll say this for my number three, is that Greg gets nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
That's exactly what I want. What I have in my notes, for my number three, it just says, not Greg. Please, not Greg. Worm deserves a worm ending.
Yeah, if that were to happen, then, like, Waystar Royko's down the toilet. Like,
yeah. Well, and I just feel like that wouldn't be the show. I feel like that's, if this were like a more of a straightforward comedy only, like almost more Veep kind of style, mm-hmm. then maybe that would happen, you know, because it's like, it's very funny. I don't think that Greg is going to get a happy ending. I don't really think anyone is. And that would be kind of a happy ending ish. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he would be happy to be CEO either. Like, I don't know. He just kind of wants to be kept around. I don't think he actually wants to own the company. But anyway, so that's my number three. My number two is, I think that Shiv and Tom will kind of be forced to kind of get back together, even though they basically hate each other, because they don't have any other, like, real allies. And, like, kind of, it'll be maybe also kind of like a Pete and Trudy Campbell kind of situation, and they have the baby mm-hmm. to think about, you know. I don't think they will ever be happy, but I kind of can maybe, I can see that, them kind of like being forced into that because they are getting blocked out everywhere else.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's hard for me to picture, like, okay, so we're literally one day post funeral and, like, it's the board meeting. Like, how are we going to get these, like, closures? I don't know. But
yeah. I agree with that. Well, something I should say too is that, so I was watching this on, I like downloaded it and was watching it on the plane. So they didn't have an after the episode featurette and I didn't get to watch the trailer for next week.
Oh, honestly, it doesn't show much.
Okay. I mean, they never really do, but
it is a board meeting episode.
Okay.
And the after the episode thing was really interesting because, like, it talks about the way that they filmed the episode in that church. Like, they didn't have time to film it how they normally do, so they filmed it very similarly to how they did with the Logan death scene.
Oh.
Where it's like all, they basically, and honestly, you probably listened to the podcast and they talked.
Yes.
They talked about this on the podcast. They just filmed the whole thing, like, several times all the way through.
That is so wild. It's so funny that takes less time than doing it the other way, but whatever. It's just so much higher risk because, like, if someone messes up. But I did hear when they said that. I can't remember if it was Jeremy Strong that was talking about that or James Cromwell.
It was Babe Guy.
Okay.
But also, I don't think it was necessarily, like, I think they just did all one take, like, several times. I don't necessarily think that they took the final cut was all one take.
Oh, like, okay.
I think they still put pieces together, but I don't
that
know.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay, my second one is that Jerry gets the company. That's who I want to be the US CEO. I keep seeing things also about Tom getting it, and I can't really see it because I don't think that Mattson likes Tom at all. But I did find it really interesting that, like, Tom is the only person who's actually been working.
That is so true. And it's wild that Tom just was never there at the funeral.
Yeah.
I think that something that's hard to actually make predictions too is that so much could go either way, all depending on if the deal goes through or if it doesn't go through. Because if Mencken actually does become president, because, like, if Shiv convinces Mencken if Mencken becomes president and Shiv also succeeds in having him, she's trying to convince him to push the deal through, right? With
Who's
Gojo?
Him?
Mencken.
Yeah, so they've convinced Mencken to have a U.S. They've convinced Mencken that Gojo will then have a U.S. CEO and he's mm-hmm. agreed to that, supposedly.
So it's confusing kind of because there's so many what ifs still, because mm-hmm. it's like if Gojo gets Waystar or if Gojo is blocked from getting Waystar, what's going to happen in situation A or situation B? Like, there's just so many things, because I would prefer, I think that's an amazing thing. I think Jerry should get it. And the board, if the board stays the same, they're very team Jerry. Like, they would never vote for, mm-hmm. they would never give Tom anything. They all hate Tom, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think anyone takes Tom seriously at all.
No. They basically told him to his face that they don't, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. what's, like, Carl literally did, you know? So, yeah, my number one prediction, though, is that, like, Kendall will get it, but that's only if the deal gets blocked. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I have no clue what's going to happen, but it does kind of seem like,
I mean, that could still happen. He could still be the US CEO.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know if he'd want it, but I think he would. That's honestly the most believable thing to me as well. And then he gets what he's been wanting all these years, but he's lost everything else while getting it, mm-hmm. which kind of seems like that tracks. And like, he turns into his dad basically, mm-hmm. and has no relationship with his kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, and have you seen that quote? I saw someone tweet it today where Jesse Armstrong had like a piece of paper in season one that says like Kendall wins but also loses, which is like literally what you just said. So it's like, oh, you and Jesse are in the wavelength. So there you go.
And I have not seen that. So
that's pretty amazing. That's interesting. Because yeah. Well, yeah.
And in the podcast, Kendall's talking about how it was basically like Logan's funeral and Kendall's coronation, which I thought was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that, it was so, it's just so hard to separate hearing Jeremy Strong's voice from this man is Kendall. But I did really love when Kara Swisher was like, oh yeah, like he's bombed so many times, like his rap. And he's like, oh, you thought that was like a bomb or whatever words they said. And I was like, but he was like laughing, and I was like, wow, listen to him joke around. Because
it was so funny. Sorry.
It was, oh no, you're fine. It was so good. And it's like, because he was like, Shiv did really well at the funeral too with her eulogy. Kendall was like the best one. And so in front of all these people that could potentially make these decisions, you know, and mm-hmm. Roman sealed his fate too, and he knows it. Ugh, it was just like, I wonder, I have no idea what's going to happen to Roman. Literally none, no idea.
I actually really thought that he was gonna be dead in the last scene yeah. of this episode.
It was scary.
I really thought that he was going to get shot or like beat up so bad that he died. So, I mean, I guess it could still technically happen, but I don't know.
It's actually so interesting that you say that specifically, because it does remind me of season 3 in the penultimate episode when people thought that maybe Kendall was going to die and drown in the pool. And now we have another mm-hmm. brother who is in like a very, could potentially be a life or death situation too.
Totally. That's very interesting.
Parallels.
My number one is basically what we've kind of already been saying, but like, I just kind of have a feeling that like they're all going to end up not being sibling, like even having a relationship at all. Like the bridges have been burned, mm-hmm. and that Connor will end up actually being the happiest.
Yeah. It would be great and really sad to see how in episode one, they're literally high-fiving and they're like happy being this trio, and then at the end the trio is just like destroyed. Like I yeah. could, it would be very poetic and very sad.
Truly.
And Connor is like truly never been happier.
No.
I wish we could hear his eulogy.
I wish we could too.
That was so funny, that moment. And Willow being like, that's what we love most about it. I was like, they are just hilarious. I laugh every time Willow and Connor do or say anything. And I was just cracking up so much when Shiv said that people would take legal action if they read their eulogy. It was just like, this is hilarious.
The actress who plays Willa posted about him, and like he was in, did this article, and she like posted about his article, and it was like so moving and touching. It like made me cry.
Oh my gosh.
It was
gosh.
Just like the cutest thing I've ever seen. And she calls him Rucky, and was aww. Just like saying how much she loved working with him and how he was her favorite part, and it was really special.
That is so beautiful.
Did you have a bonus?
Yeah, my bonus is that, and this is if your prediction does not come true and Jerry does not get CEO, I want Jerry and Carolina to start a tell-all podcast together.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be so good.
I also love the idea that I've seen this posted many times on Twitter, but like all of the exes of Logan being like the Real Housewives, like there being a Real Housewives of Waystar Royco and all the women. Cause like I had forgotten that there was mention of Jerry and Logan one time being a thing. And
oh,
Roman says it kind of flippantly when they're like talking about Carrie and how, and they're like, well, that was one time Jerry. Remember that? And then like Shiv was like, says something. And there's also a scene at the funeral where like she's sitting at the table with all of those women.
Wow.
So many things, but so little to happen in an hour and a half episode.
Seriously. Honestly, 2 hours would have made. Just having one more half hour would be great.
Yeah, just like a 2-episode finale.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh well, I won't complain until it actually happens. I'll report back next week if I feel that way still. Same. I mean, I'm sure I will. I'll take an unlimited amount of time with these people. But
for sure, for sure. Very excited and scared. And I'm very worried. I'm concerned for all of these people.
Did you see that Adam McKay said that he had to, like, physically recover after watching the finale?
No.
Or, like, emotionally recover?
And I was actually thinking about him today being like, where is he?
He's still recovering, I guess.
Yeah, I guess he's needed this whole year.
Yeah.
Wow. They've had so many episodes this season where it's like truly is devastating to your mental your mental state. So yeah. I'm excited, but yeah.
Nervous.
I'm nervous. I wanted to give you a shout out actually because we finally another opportunity to talk about Jason Sudeikis being a psycho boyfriend, husband, manipulative emotionally.
Thank you.
Because Kendall totally pulled the move of telling Rava he's going to lie down in front of her car so she can't drive away. And I actually saw it before you. I saw your tweet. I saw someone else that was like, wow, Kendall pulling out, like, that's like the textbook, like emotionally abusive partner move kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
I saw that tweet too. And it actually sparked me to tweet my thread. Mm-hmm, I had already, mm-hmm. like, when I first saw that scene happen, I was like, okay, Jason Sudeikis.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw that tweet, I was like, I'm tweeting my thread, even though no one will care. I have to get these thoughts out of my brain.
It's like people just want to only mock Olivia Wilde out of the whole situation. No one besides us, it feels like, are remembering and have totally changed their opinion on Jason Sudeikis after hearing all the creepy things that he did.
Yeah, it's not getting publicized enough. He's still, the Ted Lasso of it all is just like too manipulative and the people are being fooled.
And you know what? There's not a Ted Lasso equivalent role for women. So like, I don't think there's a role she could have that could make people forget or like make people see her as this warm, cuddly person. I think the only role that's ever been like that for women was Tammy Taylor. And
yeah,
I don't know if someone would ever cast her as that. And so what is she supposed to do? Because people think Jason Sudeikis is Ted Lasso, so he's like protected for life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair.
It really isn't. Thank you for appreciating.
You're the welcome. Connection. Thank you for posting it because I hadn't thought about it. And look how, like, it was very jarring to watch that scene happen.
Yes.
I was like, stop trying to control the mother of your children when mm-hmm. she's literally trying to protect them. She's not pulling a power move on you. She's literally wants to get out of the city where there's being protests and she has a child of color.
Mm-hmm.
Etc.
And so do you, Kendall. Do you have a crush of the week?
Yeah, I am going to say the king from Queen Charlotte. I wouldn't Good say one. That he looked hot all the time, but I thought, like, he had kind of an interesting look sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like, I don't know. I just thought he was cute, though, and their love scenes were pretty steamy.
They were. He was hot.
And we saw his butt
a lot. He was like a normal hot to me.
Yeah, he was
like almost hotter.
Yes, exactly. Like there were, yeah, I do think that he probably looks like guys that like I'd seen in college or something or in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But it did make him like, I think it made him more relatable than some of the other Bridgerton guys sometimes. And he showed a lot more skin than any of the girlies did, actually, because we saw his butt a lot. True. So that's kind of cool. Feminism.
Pro male nudity. Well, my crush of the week is Dylan O'Brien. He had a little cameo in the other two. And it's amazing, and I loved it, and I was obsessed.
Oh, I cannot wait to see that. That is so funny.
I'm very
funny.
Excited for you to watch it.
I am so excited. I'm going to get caught up on the other two after I finally get caught up in Barry, which is going to end on Sunday
also
too.
Ends next week.
We're going to be traumatized so much on Sunday.
Yeah, it's too much, honestly. All right, well, everybody, prepare yourselves for the Succession and Barry series finales next week on Max. Wow, why did they do that a week before this? Like, they should have done it right after that.
I wonder if, like, well, maybe, okay, there's two. My train of thought is they're probably like, if we're gonna get them to download a second app, this is the week that they'll actually do it.
Good point.
Because otherwise, I bet ratings would go way down for shows because no one wants to do it or is too confused. But yeah, we literally have to figure it out for these
shows.
Yeah,
that's probably it. You're smart. It's like you're working marketing or something.
I'm an expert. in manipulation.
All right, we'll be back next week to discuss those series finales, and although I can wait, I also can't. Bye.
Bye.